Amen. We're going to get in the Word today. I'm excited. In a short amount of time, I'm going to give you a lot of information. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you got your semi-bulletin here this morning, you know, people wonder who prayed for my seat. I did. I walk around during the week sometimes, and I'll lay hands on every chair in here. Pray that Jesus gets right inside with you. Go home, get in bed with you. Amen. Shake you up. How many of you know you need shaking up? Amen. So this is serious here. Read what's inside of it. Let it speak to you. But also in here, there's extra pages to take notes, but all the scriptures are here. But we do. We pray for everybody that walks in these doors because you're precious and you're special. So come expecting. Amen. You ready for today? Amen. Well, let's pray together. Pray with me right now. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My heart is ready. My ears are open for all that you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your anointing this morning. We thank you for the Word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us as the Word goes forth. Thank you, Lord, that nobody leaves here without feeling changed on the inside. Changed for the better. Changed for greater things. Changed for greater victories, Lord, because of the power of the Word that goes forth today. We thank you for your anointing today as we share these truths. And thank you, Lord, that we grasp how important it is that we look at what we should be majoring on and not what we should be minoring on. Thank you, Lord, we hear your voice and the voice of a stranger we do not follow. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Excited to share with you today. I didn't bring my lantern out, and I meant to do that. So that's what we ended with last week, talking about is your lantern lit? And I want to share more about the end times. I think it's good that a pastor shares about end times, but I want to take time today and do the play-by-play. Is that okay? I want to do the play-by-play according to the Word of God. Amen. Everybody has an opinion. Opinions don't mean anything unless they're based on the Word. And there's a lot of people who've had opinions through the years. And I don't mind talking about this one. Hal Lindsey had his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. You ever get a chance, look in the front of it and see how many times he changed it. Opinions don't matter. What the Word says matters. Any prophet that won't sit there and say, I missed it, I'd be careful about following after that one. A lot of these guys these days move the chains on the football field to justify themselves. Be careful. What the Word of God says is exactly what He's going to do. What the Word says is exactly what's going to happen. You can't change it. You can talk till you're blue in the face about something that's crazy and far, far over the top. But if it don't line up with the Word, on you. Amen. It's a big raspberry. Amen. You need to follow what the Word says. There's only certain preachers I listen to about end times because I like the fact that they quote the Bible more than they quote an opinion. Amen. Now, I've heard some of their opinions privately, and I agree with them on a lot of it because I think Scripture justifies it. Anybody that puts a time frame on it's wrong. But there are some indications of what's taking place that we can be expecting. Can I hear an amen? That's why I like Joe Morris, how he will always, you know, we don't know the day or the hour when Jesus is going to return for the rapture, but we can see what's going to happen after the rapture, that Ezekiel 38 war. And I shared with this as we started last week, you know, all the players for that war all have military treaties now. They're shaking hands together. They're all hooked up. Russia, China, all of them have a plan. All of them have an agreement. Turkey's a part of that agreement. The only thing holding back everything that's about to happen is what? You, the church. the church. That's why what you do right now in these last days is vital, important, and God's expecting you to step up to the plate and hit a home run. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking last week of all the things we shared. One of them was this point. C.S. Lewis once said, there's two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't so. The second is to refuse to believe what is so. Need to believe what the Word says. Amen. And we shared with you last week in the Amplified Bible, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, he who has an ear to hear, or he who has an ear, let him hear and heed. I'm quoting King James. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant the privilege to eat the fruit from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Man, that's kind of cool, isn't it? Won't that be fun? Amen. Well, we shared a couple other things, but the main thing I wanted to ring in your head here is that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and there's nothing you can do about it. You shouldn't be scared about it. This is all good news. This is the best thing ever. Amen. And your life's not over when the rapture comes. It's going to increase. I said it's going to increase. You don't have to worry about your kids or anything as long as you got them living for Jesus and in church with you. You get to see them too. You get to spend time with them even more. During the millennium, can you imagine how wonderful it's going to be walking around in resurrected bodies and serving the King of Kings that'll rule and reign from Jerusalem? It's going to be incredible. So much of the time we put all of our eggs in baskets that God's got nothing to do with. And we need to focus on what the Word says. There's going to be a moment where the trumpet's going to sound, and according to the Scriptures, we will meet Him in the air. Okay? There are going to be a lot of people who are going to see that sudden disappearance. And it's going to shake this world to the core. It will shake this world to the core. Can you say amen? It will do it. It's going to be an amazing thing when it happens. But He's coming back. Are you ready for that? I said, are you ready? Yeah. Amen. You know, 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32 says, talking about the sons of Issachar, understand the times. They understood the times and knew what Israel should do. You and I should understand the days in which we're living. Amen. We should understand. And I shared with you last week, it's time for us as believers to know what we believe, to live what we confess, to love people without affirming lies, and to speak truth without compromise. We should be sober-minded, we should be grounded in the Word, and we should be ready. Amen. We had a skit on Fire by Night. It was called the Rapture. We called it the Rapture skit, but they were all doing the rapture-ready positions, you know. They would practice. When the horn would sound, they would get down like this. Okay, we're ready. We're ready. And it was a commercial for a bumper sketch that we did. Oh, it was so much fun and full of laughter. But at the end, the scripture that we gave out was this. And I want to read this to you. It's found in Matthew 25, verse 23. And if you're going to write it down, I would write this down and go back and read it later. But Matthew 25 and verse 23. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, the classic edition. It says, His master said to him, Well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy, the delight, the blessedness which your master enjoys. You know, there's going to come a time where you and I are going to stand before the Lord. And I don't know about you, but don't you want Him to say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant? Amen. Don't you want Him to look you in the eyes and hold His arms out and hug you tight, pull you back and smile at you with tears in your eyes. And he looks at you and just smiles, well done. You are such a faithful servant. You know, a lot of people aren't very faithful to the Lord in these days. They're not faithful to church. Can I preach today? They're not faithful to give, not faithful to honor God. But I will tell you this, and this one's important. They're not faithful to be doers of the word. And that, my friends, is important. You can talk doctrine all you want, but if it don't line up with all the Bible, you're missing something. God's coming and looking for a people who are doers of the word. We need to be faithful, like Jesus said in that parable. Well done, you upright. You know, there's not a lot of people these days that are upright and honorable and admirable. They talk one way at church, act like somebody else when they go out the doors. But one of the two things, you know, well done, you upright, honorable, that's the part that's good. We always quote the good. Good means upright, honorable, admirable. But then he talks about faithful. Faithfulness matters in these days. Amen. But I want to hit you with this as we start. Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man came to do what? Say it out loud. Those who are lost. What did Jesus come to do? Say it out loud. He came to seek and save those who are lost. Say it again. He came to seek and save those who are lost. What is your job? Your life should be an example, not a warning sign, not a Kmart blue light special. Your life counts for something. Your life should count for the greatest thing ever, and that is Jesus that changed you. Amen. Our job as believers is to be doers of the word, to live this life, to talk about how Jesus changed us because he came to seek and save the lost. And he's counting on you to do those same things that he did, but what? Greater. Amen. But Jesus also warned us in John 16 and verse 33. He said, in this world, you're gonna have what? Trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? He's overcome the world. Well, today I want to do part two. We're going to do part three next Sunday. And I got a short amount of time here, but I want you to listen. And if you can, stick around till we get to the very end, because this is important today. But I want to give you the play-by-play according to the Word of God. And I'm not going to put scriptures on the screen. I want you to know these verses. It's in your handout. You can go back and look them up. I encourage you to look them up in different translations. But today I just want to take some time and show you what the signs are that point to the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much happening in the world right now. So much happening in Israel. So much happening globally. In fact, we're witnessing events that seem to just flat out align with Bible prophecy. In fact, Bible prophecy really is shaping the ways of this world that hint towards a one world government. We can see it happening. I've heard people talk about it. If you go to Brussels and you see all the things at the headquarters of the European Union, everything that runs up talks about Babylon is all carved in this structure. That's frightening. And it should shake you. The world is leaning towards one world government. The world is leaning towards one person that they're going to fall in line with and do whatever they say. We know that person to be the Antichrist, right? But guess what? You won't be around for that. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Glory to God. I know, it's funny when people obsess about the Antichrist and they obsess about the mark of the beast. You won't be here. You should be obsessing about that first verse I gave you. Son of Man came to seek and save that for those who were lost. That should matter most importantly to you. But everything in this world these days is pointing towards these events. Jesus spoke of the days leading up to his return, notably in Matthew 24 and in Matthew 25. And he gave specific signs to watch for. In Matthew 24 and verse 9, Jesus told his disciples that Israel would face hatred from all nations for his name's sake. Israel would face hatred from all nations for his name's sake. You know, if you can get online, it's there. You can watch videos of the massacre that happened on October the 7th. You need to watch that. You need to quit thinking it's not real. There's people today that do not believe in the Holocaust. Can you believe that? If you ever travel to Europe, you should go to one of those Nazi prison camps and see the suitcases that are piled high that they saved, gold teeth that they pulled to keep, hair, all the hair that they cut off of those poor people. They saved it. It was trophies. They believed them to be scum and they killed them. They separated women and children, men and boys. They gassed them, they tortured them, they made them work. You should go see those things. The same hatred on October the 7th rose up like something fierce. There's video that the Hamas people took where they were throwing babies in microwaves and turning it on. There's things that you don't, our media is not telling you. The world is coming against the Israeli people. You need to wake up. Jesus said to watch for these things. It's happening right now. Iran still doesn't want to capitulate, but they better. Even that lines up with Bible prophecy right now. Even certain countries in the Middle East that have been sworn enemies of Israel, it's been prophesied that they'll be a defender of Israel. What have you noticed about the Middle East and all these nations that joined with us in all of this? They joined with Israel. The Bible prophesied that. How close are we to the trumpet sounding? Jesus told his disciples again that Israel would be hated, hated of all nations for his name's sake. Today, the warning seems more relevant than ever. Israel's nothing but a small nation, but Israel values democracy and free enterprise, and it is facing growing opposition. Even nations and institutions that once stood by Israel, like the United Nations, have shifted their stance. Why would so many oppose Israel? Well, honestly, it goes beyond politics. It's really spiritual warfare. Are you hearing me? It is spiritual warfare. And behind the scenes, the devil, Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's called the god of this what? World. Y'all know the verses. The god of this world, Satan, is working to stir up hatred against Israel, all because of Jesus. Would you speak his name? Jesus. Say it again real loud. Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate victor over Satan. Jesus came from the nation of Israel. And Jesus promised he will return to the nation of Israel. You know, currently the devil's influence in the world system, which is evident in a lot of sectors, and I want to throw this at you today because you need to hear it. The devil's influence in the various sectors of the world, including this nation, from politics to entertainment. His goal is to bring the world under control of the Antichrist eventually. And his earthly representatives are all around. If you stop and you just breathe for a minute and look, it's not hard to see. In fact, His goal is not only to bring under the control of the Antichrist, his goal is to take it all over and rule. This figure, this Antichrist, will present himself as a leader of peace. But ultimately, his aim is to destroy Israel and set himself up as the world's ruler. We read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. But here you got to understand, the Antichrist, the reason you don't know who he is, and the reason I don't know who he is, I mean, I had some goofy ideas a long time ago. You know, Michael Jordan was the Antichrist. You know, you multiply his jersey number, which is 23, 2 times 3 is what? 6. He's 6'6" tall. That's 3 sixes right there, my God, you know. And I always thought the great whore of Babylon was Madonna, but I was wrong about that. This is why you don't listen to opinions. Personally, I think Islam is the great whore of Babylon. The Antichrist is being held back because of you, the church. You will not know who he is. You may see glimpses. Maybe that's one. I've heard all sorts of people talk about different leaders in different countries. That's the Antichrist, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to know, and thank God we won't be here to know. Amen. Well, there's one that's going. Amen. Thankfully, I won't be here to know. How about you? Amen. Oh, come on now. You ought to be excited about these things. Well, I got plans. God's got better plans for you. Amen. The Antichrist is restrained by the presence of the church. The church is restraining evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul warns that the day of the Antichrist will not come until the departure. One translation reads, the Antichrist will not come until the, quote, the departure, unquote. That will occur first. Most Bible scholars will agree that the departure is the rapture of the church. And when Jesus gathers his church to him, he is going to remove believers from the face of the earth before the tribulation period. The beginning of the tribulation period is the Ezekiel 38 war. That's why Joe Morris always majors on talking about the players of the Ezekiel 38 war. And I know some people sit back, well, I've heard all this all my life. Not like it is today. There are things that have been fulfilled left and right in the last 10 years that are astounding. And you, as a believer, should pay attention to these things and realize that time is short and that you need to win people over. Tell people about Jesus and what he did for you. Remember, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Is your lantern lit? Or are you hiding it under your coat? We're supposed to seek and save those who are lost. You're supposed to bring them to church. You're supposed to be talking about the Word of God, not yourself. Amen. See, the departure refers to the rapture. Jesus is going to remove believers from this earth before that Ezekiel 38 war. Once the church is taken, well, the Antichrist will be free to reveal his true intentions and who he is. And for a brief moment, for a brief, brief moment, there will be no Christians on this earth, allowing the Antichrist to seize control. None. And during this time, there will be 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes that will accept Jesus. And they, according to Revelation 7 and verse 4, they will begin to spread the gospel in their nation. And I don't want to get into different theories about a rapture before the Ezekiel 38, a mid-tribulation rapture, and then the return of Jesus where he sets foot on the Mount of Olives. I don't want to deal with those rapture terms today, but I do want you to know God's going to still be moving in the midst of all that. See, according to Daniel, there's 70 weeks, if you remember the story. God's promised Israel through prophecy 7 years more of Old Testament times. Well, you know what? We've been living under the dispensation of grace because of what Jesus did. How many of you are born again? Aren't you thankful for this dispensation of grace? But when you're taken off this earth, it reverts back to Old Testament times. You really want to pay attention to how we're living right now. It's important. Amen. For a brief moment, there'll be no Christians on the earth after the rapture. And again, all these Jews that get born again during this time, they're going to be spreading the gospel. Well, why, Pastor, is it important? Why is it important that we have a grasp on the big picture? I'm glad you asked. Amen. You know, Jesus encouraged us as his followers to recognize the signs of the times. He compared Israel to a fig tree budding in the spring. Luke 21, verses 29 through 32. And when Israel was reborn as a nation in 1948, it marked the beginning of the end time clock, and that clock is ticking right now. Jesus indicated that the generation that witnesses Israel's rebirth would also witness the fulfillment of all end-time prophecies, including the Messiah's return. See, our mission as believers, as the church, our mission is to stand firm and share the hope of Christ Jesus with the world that's in turmoil. Amen. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it reads here, Paul reminds us that a crown of righteousness awaits those who long for his appearing. You should be longing for Jesus to come back. Longing for it. Hungry for it. Can't wait. You should already be dancing and shouting and rejoicing because the King is coming. You should be more excited than you've ever been before in your life. Amen. But your mission as the church in a world that's in turmoil is to tell everyone that you can about the hope of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, Paul reminds us that that godly living will bring persecution, but we must continue steadfastly in the faith, proclaiming the truth, even as the world grows more hostile. I don't know if you know this right now, but there is a greater attack on Christianity than there's ever been before. There is a greater attack on Christianity than there ever has been before. You know, Iran is absolutely executing people who have brought Bibles into their country. And the Pope needs to wake up. He needs to wake up. Islam is an evil religion. I've met some peaceful Muslims. I have. But there are more radicals than there are peaceful. And the Middle East, where the mark of the beast will be, what Daniel saw, he saw what we would know as the old world Ottoman Empire coming together. That's where the mark will be. But I say all this because of this. You should be expecting Jesus' return now. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. The Bible describes two events, distinct events. The rapture, where Jesus will come for his church, and then the second coming, where he returns with his church to establish his kingdom. At the rapture, Jesus will meet believers in the air, gathering his church together, according to 2 Thessalonians 4:17. This moment will be sudden, it'll be unmistakable, and the world will know something terrible has just happened to it. Not to you, but to it. They'll look for answers. The moment will be sudden, it'll be unmistakable, as believers are caught up to be with the Lord forever. Before we go home, folks, we have a job to do. Can you say amen? Amen? You have a job to do. I want to close here because of time. And I want you to come back next Sunday because I want to take some time and talk about your role as a believer before the end comes. I want to talk about how you need to understand what the rapture is and what to expect because you need to be ready. I want to talk about the tribulation, and I want to talk about Jesus' ultimate victory. And I want to share with you next Sunday as we close this series, I want to talk to you about how you need to be living in anticipation. Do y'all remember the Heinz ketchup commercial? Where Carly Simon is singing, anticipation. Y'all remember that? I love hearing that song every once in a while. It's making me wait. And what did the commercial say? It's slow good. Right now, you think all of this is slow and it may not happen in your lifetime? I would think again. Amen. All the check marks have been checked. There's only just a couple things that need to happen. And what we've seen in Iran, it can happen within a few 30 minutes or less. Damascus could be laying in ruins. Everything could happen suddenly. It could be click, click, click. The news media won't be able to keep up with all the things that have exploded on the world scene. And then all of a sudden, the thing that some people fear that you shouldn't, all of a sudden, the thing that when they sit back, people that grew up in church but never made Jesus the Lord of their life, they realize mama was right. My grandmama was right. My pastor was right. The trumpet will sound. And a lot of the world's population will disappear. You don't want to be here for that chaos. War like you've never seen will take place suddenly. Folks, we need to tell everybody you can about the hope of Christ. I know it's not my normal preaching to do this, but I'm telling you, I believe it's important. Can you say amen? Amen. So next Sunday we'll pick up here. Come expecting. Bring somebody with you. We're going to have a good time. All right? Why don't you do this? Bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father God, we just thank you right now for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we can look in the scriptures and we know that our hope is anchored in Christ, who has overcome the world. Oh, thank God, Jesus, for what you've done. But Lord, not only that, we thank you that you are coming soon and all things are going to be made right. Woo! What a day of rejoicing it's going to be. But until then, Lord, our job is to keep our eyes fixed on you, trusting in you, boldly proclaiming the gospel to a world that's in need of your peace. Lord, may we all as believers keep our lanterns lit. Keep the oil in our lamp. Keep it burning, like the old Pentecostal song says. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Lord, the break of day is coming when the trumpet will sound and we'll be with you face to face. Everybody that we know needs to come with us. All of our loved ones need to come with us. Anybody and anyone that matters, we have a responsibility to seek and save the lost. Because, Lord, you told us, these works shall you do. And greater. Lord, may we be quick to act, quick to obey, quick to do. Because the biggest problem with the body of Christ, Lord, they don't obey and honor you. They pick and choose. Lord, may we pick you and what you said and put it first. Because it is the most important, the most valuable thing in life that we have. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Most of you could create a hit list right now. List of people you need to talk to. You could sit there and make your Holy Ghost hit list. Who I need to tell. Who I need to bring to church. Who I need to minister to. Who I need to say, hey, come to church with me next Sunday. You need to be with me. I believe God's got a good report for you, a good news for you. You need to come. You need to hear. Everyone in here can make a hit list. And you go after it with everything you have. Time is of the essence. It's of the essence. We need to act. We need to obey. We need to do. Our existence is not just so we can be blessed and walk around and free from the curse. Oh, He did that for us. But ultimately, Dad's got a banquet table set for the whole family. I don't know about you, I want all my kinfolk at that table. I want everybody I know and love to be at that table. My God, Jesus. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Stuff you get mad about here, you need to let it go. People's lives and souls are more important than your pride. You need to take care of things like God called you to. You need to pull your britches up and be somebody. Amen. The King's coming. The King is coming. You remember what it was like? Heads are bowed now. Listen to me. Remember what it was like when the boss came to the office? How you had everything straightened up. You had your wastebasket emptied. You wanted everything to be perfect because the boss is coming. I'm telling you right now, the boss is coming. Your house needs to be in order. And you need to bring everybody you can. Quit reading junk and read the Word. Stop watching things that take your eyes off of the Master. We have a body of Christ that worships a golden calf instead of the Lord Himself. You need to value what's valuable and major on what you should be majoring on, not the minors. Because God's got big things in store, and you don't want to miss a moment of it. So if that's you, your head's bowed, I'm not asking you to raise your hand or come up front. We're not going to play just as I am without one plea. But my God, Jesus, don't you know how important it is to be that ambassador of love in this earth? Don't you know how important it is that your life is a witness and not a warning sign? Don't you know they need to see the love of Jesus in your eyes? If for anything, they say, you know what? I felt like I saw the eyes of my Father God when they looked at me today. God wants to use you. Quit letting the devil it out. It's time to let your light shine. So I challenge you today. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for this congregation. Lord, as you said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, may we hunger and thirst as never before, but may we be that group that stands boldly, that proclaims the word of truth, that tells others about the one who changed us forever. Lord, let it be real to them as never before. Let it be as real to them now as it was on that moment they walked the aisle, they got down on their knees at an altar, and they asked Jesus into their heart. Let it be real, maybe as the time they sat next to their bed and bowed their head and prayed, Jesus, come into my heart. Change me. Let it be more real than it's ever been before. Because, Lord, we know it matters to you. And that should be all that matters to us. Lord, we just thank you for that right now. If you're watching online or you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, boy, today is a good day to do that. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart. In fact, we're all going to pray together. And if that's you, pray with me right now. Church, pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus, who bled and died for me. I believe that you raised Him from the dead. Jesus, Come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this moment forward, I will live all of my days for you. And I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.